Hi there, and welcome back to 10-4. My name is Brian Keller, and this is episode 41, which is downloading and installing the Visual Studio 2010 release candidate. So if you've watched my videos in the past, you've seen me give similar instructions on how to do this for Beta 1 and for Beta 2 of Visual Studio 2010, and I've provided a lot of workarounds in the past and made you aware of some known issues in the product, but for the release candidate, it's gotten so easy that you can really do this in your sleep. And so I will, of course, show you how to do everything. If you're like me, you like watching someone else do it first, and you can go back and download the bits and install everything locally if you haven't already. So the first thing that you're going to do, of course, is go out and download the installers for all of the software packages here. I've put together all the links that I'll be referencing for this video are actually at the Channel 9 post for this particular video. One easy way to get to that post is just tinyurl.com/getvs2010rc. So from there you can link off to my blog, and I have links to all of the individual files that make up Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate, Visual Studio Team Foundation Server 2010, and SQL Server Trial in case you decide that you want to set this up in an evaluation environment to actually run on Team Foundation Server 2010. So you can copy all those files, throw them into your favorite download manager. I like to use Free Download Manager, and start your downloads. After that, you can, of course, go ahead and install Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate. Now, for the most part, this is just inserting the media and clicking next, next, next until everything's all installed. But there are two things that I want to make you aware of here. The first of which is that you should make sure that you first uninstall any Beta 2 software that you have on your machine already. So that includes any power tools that you may have downloaded, because that would, of course, interfere with the release candidate installation. But then you can install the release candidate and you should be good to go. The other thing to make you aware of is that at the very end of the setup, you might get a warning that says that there was a problem related to the Silverlight 3 installation. If you happen to keep your machine up to date with all the latest Windows updates, then earlier last week you got a new Windows update for Silverlight 3 to support the Winter Olympics in Vancouver and the fact that we're streaming all that via Silverlight streaming. That actually is an update to Silverlight 3 that the release candidate bits were not aware of, and they generate this error message, which is actually an incorrect error message. For the most part, this can be safely ignored. If you're not doing Silverlight 3 development, you don't need to worry about it. If you are doing Silverlight 3 development, then you should go out and download a fix for the developer runtime and install that after you install Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate. The other thing to make you aware of is that if you're a Silverlight 4 developer, you should stay on Beta 2 of Visual Studio 2010, because Silverlight 4, the tools, did not make it into the release candidate. And Scott Guthrie has a blog post that that takes you through all the details of what that means exactly. Once you get Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate set up, you might want to set up Team Foundation Server 2010 as well. One of the things that, that you may not be aware of is that we introduced what's called a basic configuration of Team Foundation Server 2010. This allows you to do two really cool things. One is, first, you can set it up on a client operating system. So you can set this up on Windows Vista or Windows 7. The other thing you can do is you can take advantage of SQL Server Express when you set up Team Foundation Server 2010 in a basic configuration. Now, the downside of that is that you won't get analysis services, and you won't get reporting services, and you won't get the SharePoint integration that you get with the full-blown Team Foundation Server installation. But if all you want are things like work item tracking and source control and build automation, you can get all of that set up with Team Foundation Server 2010 in a basic configuration. Now, regardless of how you set up Team Foundation Server 2010, the first thing you'll need to do is prepare your operating system. And so you'll need to install the prerequisites that come with IIS. And so that includes ASP.NET, it includes Windows authentication, and it includes IIS 6 management compatibility tools as well. What I'm showing you here is how to set this up on Windows Server using Server Manager. There's also detailed instructions in the TFS installation guide for how to set this up on Windows 7 and Windows Vista as well. The next thing that you need to do if you are setting up a Team Foundation server in a full standard configuration, so not the basic configuration, is install SQL Server 2008, either standard or enterprise edition. And so, as I mentioned, I provided a link to where to download the SQL Server 2008 trial edition. That'll give you 180 days if you want to set this up on kind of some test or evaluation hardware. When you set this up, regardless of whether or not you're using standard or enterprise, you do have to make sure that the following components are enabled. That's database engine services, full text search, analysis services, reporting services, client tools connectivity, and the management tools, either the basic or the complete. When you set up your services, make sure that you use the same account everywhere and that you use you set all those accounts to start up automatically. Once you get SQL and your operating system all ready, then it's time to install Team Foundation Server. Now, Team Foundation Server 2010 is a two-phase setup. So the first phase is the installation, the second phase is the configuration. To start with, go ahead and insert the media, and you'll notice that there's two folders depending on whether or not you want a 32-bit or a 64-bit installation. Select the appropriate setup file out of the right folder there. And then basically just follow through the wizard here. The first step's really a no-brainer. You basically just click next, next, next until it's done and it's installed everything. And then after you've installed everything, you'll get this option to launch into the configuration tools. Once you launch into the configuration wizards, you'll see that there are several wizards available. The one that I mentioned earlier, the TFS basic configuration, allows you to set up on SQL Server Express as well as a client operating system if you want. And then there's other wizards in here. These are all explained in detail in the TFS installation guide. Once again, I'll link to that from the video entry. Once you've selected the wizard, in this case I'm going to be selecting the standard wizard, then you may be prompted for accounts that you need to set up. So in this case, there's actually a reporting services account that the standard wizard expects. This is all detailed in the TFS installation guidance, but for this case, I've just set up an account that is a TFS reports account, and it has the logon locally privilege. Once you've set up all the inputs, it's going to validate and make sure that your machine meets all the necessary prerequisites. It's not uncommon to actually get warnings within here. Just make sure that you read and understand what those warnings are. A lot of the time we'll let you know, for example, that we're going to configure things automatically for you if they're not already configured, and it's just more of an FYI than something you really need to worry about. Once everything passes the validation checks, then you can go ahead and configure, and then the wizard will take care of the rest to actually configure Team Foundation Server 2010. After a few minutes, you can come back and notice that the TFS administration console has opened up, and you can use the TFS administration console to perform a number of tasks with TFS, as well as ensure that everything is up and running as you would expect. Once you get everything up and running with TFS 2010, the only thing left to do is actually configure your clients. And so you can drop in a Team Explorer from within Visual Studio 2010 and make sure that you are connecting up to the TFS 2010 instance that you just set up. If you happen to be using Visual Studio 2008, there is a GDR hotfix available that you can download that will make sure that VS 2008 will work properly with TFS 2010. And the hotfix for Visual Studio 2005 clients is going to be coming closer to RTM as well. So I hope that was useful, and once again, you can get all the links referenced in this video at tinyurl.com/getvs2010rc. On that page, you'll also find links to information on how to go live and actually request official Microsoft support should you encounter any problems. We have links to the MSDN forums where you can connect with people from the product group and from other customer experts just like yourself. And we also have links back to the Connect forums as well. So on Connect, you'll find places where you can log enhancement requests and bug features that you might find. And really, this is vitally important to us because the release candidate is our last release to you to help you tell us whether or not we are shipping a great product and help make sure that we fixed any last bugs prior to our official release on April 12th, 2010. So thank you for watching this video. Thank you for playing with Visual Studio 2010. As a reminder, you can get other 10.4 episodes at channel9.msdn.com/shows/10-4. Thank you very much.